Hi. Welcome to Poetry Flash at Diesel.
No, Moe's.
At Moe's. Oh.
It's like the Burbank World's Park.
We're getting there.
We're all moving across town to Diesel. That's Let me start out praising the marvels of Moe's Bookstore that I four floors of books. All right, we love Moe's. Okay, now this is a beautiful reading that is the more miraculous because when we were trying to convene, which was last summer, everything was blacked out. There was no power. And so we stood out on the street semi-partying and put this day together, and here we are. This is a Saddle Road Press reading. All three poets are Saddle Road, from Ruth's Saddle Road Press, and Don too. And the readers are Tanya Priputnievich, Michelle Wing, Ruth Thompson. And this is Tanya's beautiful first book, November Butterfly. She is a butterfly out of the chrysalis of the Iowa Writers' Workshop. And really a beautiful book. It's in three sections. We had the pleasure of publishing one of these poems, Mordred's Dream, the second section on Guinevere. The first section has got a lot of, she's got Marilyn, Sylvia, Amelia Earhart, Ophelia, a lot of beautiful gone women. And then the last, the style is, it's dramatic monologues. The first two sections are persona poems, and they speak to you or to each other. The last section is more a lyrical I, and it goes back to a rape. It goes forward to a marriage. It goes in many different directions. And I thought how to speak about her style, which is beautiful. You'll hear it. But if you look at it on the page, it's mostly in couplets. And it's fine. It has a fine, almost a trellis-like look on the page. The poems are strong and some ominous, many very mysterious. And it's plain style in the sense that people are talking, but it's beautifully elegant and full of beautiful imagery, a lot of nature imagery. So let's give her a warm welcome. Tanya Priputnievich.
Working? Can you hear through the mic?
It's not on.
It's not on.
Yeah, I think it got turned off accidentally.
Okay.
How's that?
Much better. Hey. Thank you.
Wave your arm if you can't hear.
If you can't hear. Yeah. Well, I have three coaches in the front line, so I'm going to do my best. What a blessing to be here. This is such a beautiful night for me. I'm going to start by crying. Okay. I want to read to you from the middle section, which is where Guinevere took over. Like Richard said, the first section is iconic women, and then the second section, Guinevere took over and started speaking to me. So by the end of the section, she's speaking from the end of the bed. But I'm going to read very first poem. Is Guinevere in the corridor with her mother. The corridor. Let us begin with the worm, its translucent omen, the head of reason halved and sent functioning to opposite ends, neither male nor female, blindly burrowing on. In court we divide up duties, crown one sex and not the other. But mother says, dwell not on it, power has many homes. As we sidle down the corridor between her door and mine, those few seconds maidless, unattended, the mystical colors of hand-spun yarn in our hands, a candle, and silvering ends of her braids faint as spokes of dandelions gone to seed, caught by wind, or better, blown by her breath across the grasses to me. The plum outline of her mouth, freckles on her shoulders, scent of mead, sandalwood and pheasant grease in her hair from father's hands. The second one is Mordred's Dream, and this is the one that Richard put up at Poetry Flash, which was another childhood dream for me to have that happen. Thank you. Mordred's Dream, a refusal. And this is Mordred speaking to his mother, Morgaine, the half-sister of Arthur in the Camelot court. I stand barefoot in the darkening woods. Your horse bears down, his hooves crescent the dirt, casting rinds of earth on my feet. As he circles, one more animal bent to your will. From muscled halves of his chest, heat radiates. Your slight boot and rim of cloak skim my cheek. I'm no hunter, mother, nor simple quarry, nor witch like you. Guinevere paces her battlements at dawn when Arthur's gone, just a girl in pale slippers like falcon hoods. So lethal, so light. Were I to be mortally wounded, would Avalon's fairy halt for me? Unsmiling in your saddle above, a planetary cold in your eyes, you begin your fade. Outlines of oak trunks reassemble in the air your horse occupied, the rowan fringe of your lips. I'm going to move to the third section. I wanted to share some of these other poems. This one is actually written in a coffee shop in Sonoma County from a conversation I overheard in it. It's called Gods in the Butter. Gods in the butter and the cool pull of household order in the soft spot, thumbprints worth its skin dented heartward. Pulsing over the open star between four quarters of my daughter's skull, and in the silver water sifting from the whipping cream, and in the fluff of duck feather, my brother, fluffed against his nose, sucking his thumb nights my mother worked. In the voice of the woman crying at the coffee shop, holding hands with the father of her infant son, listening to him list the reasons he can't come home to them. And in the hardness, day after day, getting along with the father of my children. In the glittering orbs, one needs gloves to handle. Mothballs dropped under floorboards for warding off. Winter's a possum. And in the chilled beaters, cream-coated, one for you and one for me. Best raw, no need for sugar or vanilla. Kiss me. Staying with you or anyone depends on tasting God in everything. I want to read another one. This is for my son, Orion, who's not here. And you might be embarrassed if you were. So I could read it to you. Orion, he takes more than milk by morning. If I close my eyes against the suck and thrush of his purple tongue, there's a chance the dream will linger, or that former self who lived 7 years solo in Iowa before I married and then gave birth 3 times. Who is that girl with time to burn sandalwood? Ticking pilot light on a white gas stove, the plush rush of blue flame morning of first snow, heartwood lit, sending up its trills of scent and silver fledgling rings. Oh, bless the trees of the genus Santalum. For now, I'm barely caged in a collapsible form, like the diamond grill inside an elevator box I once rode in Paris, just wide enough for me and one suitcase. It's how we're meant to arrive on Earth, but somehow it seems we come with more leftover notions of the lives before, like a dancing hangover, the smell of strangers' cigarettes in your hair, the foam wreaths of their beer between your toes. I don't know where I put the rest of the poem.
Sorry.
Oh, dear. It's a good rookie mistake. Webbing between your toes from that beer. But what's essential is here, my breast, my body's milk, and his mouth, 2 heartbeats, and the thrumming of blood. You again. You again. I'm going to read one more.
Oh, you have more time.
I want to read the title poem from the collection. This one is called November Butterfly. It's easy to love the sun and the roses it fires, blood cardinals flying over snow, 3 black horses running mid-morning in the rain, a blue heron on a downed tree in river's mist. But what if tar fissures on back roads off the grid, a liver-sheened reptile clambering out of the ditch, cold-rimmed hubcaps, headlights, a voice 2 states away on the radio, a butterfly with a frayed wing pinned, living to the windshield. It's easy to love some women, emanating green, moon-skinned, quiet, enchanting as sunlight through undersides of leaves. Winter in the thighs, we hibernate in rooms they've left and pray they'll return, notice us, or let fall some butter from their palms. I wish I were a flower, or the maker, to mend you. I held out my finger, not a stick, and up you grappled, unfurled a tunneled up tongue for 1 last taste, or to ward me off. So easy to muck the translation, no common language, the gap between the self one loves and the self one fears. I can't fill out your wing, but I can look you in the unblinking amber screen of your eye and set you on this leaf. Okay. I'm going to read just one more, I promise.
You have lots of time.
This poem, this is what happens when a triathlete marries a poet. You don't get an engagement ring, you get a really fancy bicycle. Dragonfly. In lieu of the ring, a carbon fiber frame. You had it custom done, turned it for me in the sun, outside our one room flat. This way, violet green. That, honey red. First ride, a pair of shag-lumped llamas, a kestrel on the wire, a sheep, and 2 lambs you never saw. 23 miles of hairpin curves above Casadero, staring down the cleft of muscle in your calves, clinging to the promise of the descent down Myers Grade, blocking out the downshifting gear directives streaming from your mouth. Summit's view, redwoods to pastures to ocean cliffs where you stopped for water, long enough to hear me wonder aloud, "What did I do to you one life back?" We laughed and agreed. I was the writer this time around. I'll try my hand at raising the children, and you slow enough to see the kestrel color of the sky and me.